Okay, good morning, everybody.
First of all, the learning today is Lili Nishmas Basya Bas Menachem, Dreizel Nechama Bas Chaim Yidl, and Chami Umayri Yosef Elimelech Ben Peru, Rav Yosef Elimelech Ben Peru. Okay. Yosef Elimelech Ben Sachem Wotay. Today we are up to Perek Yotes in the Tiferes Yisrael, and the goal of this perek here is to address one question. I mean, he begins the perek by posing two follow-up questions to what we've been discussing till now. He's going to address one of them in what we're going to learn today, and one of them in Perek Chaf, in the next perek, in the next chapter. If you recall, over the last few prakim, what the Maral has developed is, number one, the idea that there had to be a Torah min HaShamayim, because it was absolutely necessary for the completion of the world, for the completion of man, for drawing the connection between man and Hashem, that there be this Torah, this guidance, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to complete all of that. So there had to be a Torah min HaShamayim. And then he said, but on the other hand, so the question is, if it had to be, so why did it wait? And he said, well, it needed Yisrael. It needed the Jewish people for that to happen. Torah is there for Yisrael. And until we reached a point where we developed the klalius, the wholeness of Klal Yisrael, so the Torah couldn't come on the scene. Okay, so we covered those bases. But what we're left with is a significant question, says the Maral. Two significant questions. The first question, which he has, is that there are some mitzvahs that were given to Avram, to Yaakov. There are mitzvahs that were given earlier on, right? In Sefer Bereishis, right? Besides for the mitzvah of Puravu, which was given to Adam HaRishon, right? Which we maintain as a mitzvah of the Jewish people, but obviously it was given and started with Adam HaRishon. But we have two particularly Jewish mitzvahs. We have the mitzvah of Mila, which is given to Avram Avinu. And we have the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha, which was given at the right around the story of Yaakov Avinu. So the question is, and it's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha actually applied before Matan Torah. But assuming that it did, which is right, the pasuk is a little vague, because it's Alkein Layechlu B'nei Yisrael as Gid Hanasha. Right, therefore the Jewish people do not eat the Gid Hanasha, will not eat the Gid Hanasha. Does that mean that Yaakov had the mitzvah right away? It didn't come to him and say, don't eat the Gid Hanasha, but this is why in the future they won't eat the Gid Hanasha. So it's a machlokes tanoim, right, about whether it applied already back then. But let's assume here the opinion, which is a significant opinion, that it did. So if that's the case, why, if Torah is supposed to wait, so why didn't Torah in its entirety wait? Why did Mila come to Avram? Why did Gid Hanasha come to Yaakov Avinu? That's his first question. And his second question is one which he's going to talk about next week, and we'll just look at the question briefly now, which is, it's a perfect time to look at the question because it would be fresh from yesterday's Parsha, which is Parsha's Toldos, that where we actually have the Pasuk that it's built upon, that Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. Right, the pasuk says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yitzchak and he told him not to go down to Gerar, right? This is the last pasuk before Sheni. Even those who are learning till Sheni got up this far. Ekev Asher Shama Avram Bekayli VaYishmar Mishmarti Mitzvos HaChukai VeSeiraisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, stay here. I'm going to keep the promise that I made to Avram, my father, your father. I'll make your children many. And he says because Avram listened to my voice. Vayishmar mishmarti mitzvaysay chukaysay v'sayraysay. And he observes my safeguards, my mitzvahs, my laws, and my tyrus. Now for a man who hasn't been given the Torah yet, that's quite a mouthful. Right? Like what's going on over here? So Chazal in fact stay from here. Right? Rashi says, mishmarti is gzeirais. The extra safeguards which the Rabbanan put in place. Mitzvaysay is the logical dinim, the dinim which you would have perhaps imagined, like stealing and murder, even with not. Chukaisai is like shatnas and not eating chazer, right? Things which nobody understands exactly why.
And Teiraisai is even Teirah Shebal Peh Alochel Meshem Yisinai. So Avraham Avinu kept the works. Hashem says Avraham Avinu kept the works. So what's Avraham Avinu doing, keeping the works? What's he doing if the Torah wasn't given yet? How is it that Avraham Avinu keeps the works? And what's fascinating about the Maharal's question, and we'll look at it, Mi'ez Hashem, hopefully a little bit more next time, is that he says Dafka Avram. It was specifically Avram. We only have this pasuk by Avram. We only have this pasuk by Avram. Now, he notes, of course, that there are others who disagree with him. And there are others who say that every one of the Avos kept the Torah before it was given. Right? But he says, come on. Yaakov married two sisters. How can you tell me he kept the Torah before it was given? And he doesn't like the Ramban's answer that they kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael before it was given. And that's why he married two sisters outside of Eretz Yisrael, and what ended up happening was that on his way back, one of them died. So he wasn't married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't like that. Because, of course, mitzvahs like that, generally speaking, apply everywhere. They don't apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Ramban has his own way of explaining it. Okay, that's not for us for today. Right? But those are the two questions. The two questions are, based on this idea that Torah, Matan Torah, proper, has been suspended until we have a Jewish nation, so then what are we even talking about when we speak about the Avos having Torah? What are we talking about when we have Avraham Avinu having some mitzvahs? What are we talking about when we speak about Avraham Avinu keeping Kol HaTorah Kula before it was given? Yeah.
We also talk about a klal. So how is it that last week's question about entering the klal doesn't apply to Avraham or Yitzchak? It's only applying, therefore, to Yaakov, but yet it's Avraham and not Yitzchak and not Yaakov who are keeping Kol HaTorah Kula.
I'm not sure I understand the question again. None of them are a klal. Yeah.
If neither of them are a klal. So where is it that you find that the application or the implementation of Kol Torah Kula it applies to Avraham, it doesn't apply to Yitzchak or Yaakov according to that svara. So it should have been the other way around. It should have been to Yaakov.
If anything, okay. So in other words, you're supplementing the question. Yeah. Why should Avram, of all the Avos, if anything, Yaakov has a little bit of a taste of the klal like we discussed because he has 12 Shvatim, right? But yet we find it by Avram. What is it about Avram that he would keep the Torah before it's given? Yeah.
You give the answer before that it was in a different level for Avram because the Klal Yisrael was not quite at that level. It had even more specific mitzvahs for them. I thought you gave it. And then the second one is Yaakov, before he went to Laban, learned Shem Be'er for 14 years, obviously to prepare himself for there. But seven mitzvahs, that's even for 40 something, took 14 years with his cup?
Right.
What's he doing?
Well, okay, so the thing is, right, we speak about conceptual keeping of Kol HaTorah Kula, but this Pasuk of Mishmarta, Mitzvayseh, Chukayseh, V'sayraiseh is talking very particulars, very, very great specifics. And that's going to be the assumption which he's going to be working with here. In terms of what they learned in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, it's a good question. It's a general question. And you have to understand, you know, were they learning Bava Kama? Were they learning knowledge of Hashem Yisbarach? Whatever it is that they were learning, Arukam Eretz Midu Ruchava Miniyam. It's not like, this learning of Torah thing is not like the kind of thing where an honest learner will say, oh, I'm finished already. You know, there's always a greater depth, a greater level that the person's going to go to. I don't have a problem with Avraham Avinu. I take out the first, section of Bava Basra. You could learn it for 14 years. You won't be bored. You won't be bored, right? You'll be deep. What? You can learn it for 14 years without a problem. Without a problem. Right? Over and over and over and layers and layers and layers. And layers, layers, layers. Not just review of the same thing. Layers and layers and layers. Okay. So what's going on here with Avraham Avinu? So the thesis which the Maharal says to address the first question of Bris Mila and Gid Hanasha, right? Why were these mitzvahs, if the Torah Kula would not be given until there's a Klal Yisrael, why are these particular mitzvahs given? And he says, yes, these particular mitzvahs are given for the particular aspect, the particular contribution, the particular level of development which was created by these particular individuals, these particular Avos. Avraham Avinu Bifrat, Avraham Avinu specifically, was one to contribute the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And Yaakov particularly was the one to contribute the mitzvah of Gid Anosha. What's the idea? Explains the Tiferes Yisrael, explains the Maharal. Excuse me, let me just mention one aside here first. Right? When he says, man should have Sheva mitzvahs. Like generally, that was there before, right? Before Kala Tarakula, man generally was given the Sheva mitzvahs. And then, right, so we've alluded to before, the Sheva mitzvahs is the basic structure of seven, you know, to give something. Here, you know, Rabbi Hartman, in his footnote, notes, brings in what the Maharal writes in the Gvuras, which in fact the Maharal himself, he says, I explained this in the Gvuras Hashem. He doesn't get into the details here. So he copies here what's written in that spot. And the Maharal there says basically it's an interesting structure, that one could have perhaps thought otherwise. He says of the Sheva mitzvahs, you have three of them which are considered Rala Shamayim, three of them which are considered to be religious affronts, three of them which are considered Rala Briyas, interpersonal affronts, and one of them that's in a class of its own. The ones which are Rala Shamayim are the mitzvah, the prohibition against Birchas Hashem, against blasphemy, the one against serving Avodah Zarah, and this is the interesting one, which would be the debatable one, I guess, is Gilui Arayos, right? Forbidden relations, right? Which is one of the Sheva mitzvahs. Why does he consider that? In the Luchais, you know, that's on the second tablet, which is the ones which are Bein Adam L'Chaveira, between man and his fellow man. However, while it is a sin which is committed between man and his fellow man, it's not an interpersonal affront. Right? Many of the Arayas we would even consider to be a chayk, right? An unexplainable law. So it's really because Hashem said so that we don't do it, but it expresses itself between people. Again, I'm a little not sure of it because of the fact that, you know, it's not in the first tablet. You know, when we make that the division of five and five in the Aseres HaDibros, we don't put it there, right? We don't put it on the first one. We put it on the second one. But here, he puts it with the ones which are Rala Shamayim. The other one is Rala Briyas, the bad to man, which is, what are the other three? You have Gezel, stealing. You have murder. And you have Dinim, which is laws that govern interpersonal relationships. Compensation laws and so on and so forth. So those are the three. And then there's the seventh. What's the seventh? The seventh is Eivor Min HaChai. So Maharal says, what's the idea of the mitzvah of Eivor Min HaChai, not taking a limb from a living animal? The mitzvah of Eivor Min HaChai is that a person should be able to have self-control. Self-control. The mitzvah of Eivor Min HaChai is a mitzvah of self-control. What's the idea? Because Eivor Min HaChai is, you don't wait till the animal dies, you pull it off when it's alive. You pull off the piece of it when it's alive. And the greatest indication of self-control is the ability of a person to wait. Control over the Yetzer is when a person can wait. Right? We discussed before that, you know, a child, a little baby, is considered having Yetzer Hara and not a Yetzer Tov. When they get older, then they're considered to have already a Yetzer Tov. Right? When they become bar mitzvah, that's when we say that's when enters in the Yetzer Tov. What is a most basic sign of maturity? Most basic sign of maturity is an ability to wait. Right? When your three-year-old says, you know, can you do this with me? You'll say, sure, in half an hour. Right? Or tomorrow. You can't, right? You say, I'm going to get you that thing from the store. God willing, we're going to go next week. They don't even comprehend that. If once you said yes, that we're going to go and get that thing from the store, then it has to happen right now, immediately, right? It's, you know what I'm talking about? I'm getting a lot of appreciative nods here, right? So that, right, the ability to understand, okay, it'll come, but it'll come later, is the basic notion of maturity. And of course, that's what makes people make good decisions. That's what makes people make good decisions. When you make a bad decision, right? The bad decision is, let's just be very mundane. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Right? I can't believe I ate the whole thing. The thing's right in front of you. Right? So you say, okay, I'm going to have it. Am I thinking about what the consequences are? How I'm going to feel afterwards? Or how it's going to impact my health generally? No. So when we are told that the magic of making good decisions about mitzvahs is to weigh Hefsid mitzvah keneged schara, schara avir keneged hefseder. Weigh the rewards of the mitzvah corresponding to the costs, or the costs of an avera corresponding to the rewards. What does that mean? Simple pshat is, okay, look, short term, it'll be easier for you not to do this mitzvah. But imagine the long term benefits. Right? Short term, it'll be gewaldig for you to do this avera. You know, it's good, you won't be hungry anymore. But on the other hand, you gotta think about the long term benefits. The whole notion of being a responsible person is a person who thinks beyond the tip of their nose. Who are able to think way ahead into the future. Who's a person who is a raya es hanaylad. Person who anticipates the things which are coming down the pike. So, what's Avram Nachai? Come on. Shech the animal. Let it die. Then you take it apart. Avram Nachai is a notion of the person who's rushing, and he brings beautiful things just as a tzushtel to this idea. Again, this is all from the Maral in the Gvurais, right, where it says that like as follows: Netia machter aglein de katzvaya udabayalei nidais. The din of orla, it's a Gemara in Beah. The din of orla, right, sort of cuts away the legs of katzvaya. Katzvaya is the term for butchers and bayalei nidais. And those who would have relations with a nida. What's the idea? So katzvaya over here is not talking about Avram and Achai. Katzvaya is that they rush to butcher the animal before checking properly to make sure that it's not a trefa, that it doesn't have difficulties inside. Right? So again, they're rushing. Right? Bayalei nidais, what's the uniqueness about an isser of nida, of the isser of the mitzvah of Taras HaMishpacha? Right? This woman is permitted to you. You just have to wait for the right time. It's not like you can never. It's just, you gotta wait. And sometimes that waiting does try the patience, right? But nevertheless, the idea is, if you're gonna just be able to wait. So what's the halacha of orla? The halacha of orla is when you plant a tree, for the first 3 years, you can't partake of it. Right? You're so excited, finally, you know, something of the first 3 years, you can't partake of it. Right? That is the training to be patient. That's the training to be patient. That's the idea. And whatever, again, other examples of the same thing. So that's the idea. The most basic exercise of self-control is to learn how to be able to wait a little bit. So it's a good practice, just to think that way. I don't know how many people are challenged here by the Avram Min Achai Nisayon, right? But nevertheless, I think we're all challenged by the idea of maybe being able to postpone and to hold off a little bit, to view that as an aspect of, a central aspect of Milchemes HaYetzer, of the war against the Yetzer Hara, just the idea to say, okay, 1 second, not right now. Whenever, but not right now. That's a big thing. Yeah?
Rabbi, so there's no component here as far as kindness to animals. That was never considered in the dialogue.
The Maral is not seeing it from that aspect. There are many who understand that the Isser of Avram and Achai is related to Tzar Balei Chayim, to compassion to animals. The Maral is not using that angle here at all. Correct.
In the global view of it,
there many see Avram and Achai as an issue of Rachmim al Abriyas, as a kindness to animals. Okay. The kasher bo Avram mitzvah b'mila. Okay, so Avram Avinu, however, gets the mitzvah of mila. What's the idea? So, right, from orla to orla, right? The mitzvah of mila of circumcision is to remove what we call the orla. What is called in English the foreskin, in Hebrew it's called the orla. The orla is a generic term, actually. Right? It is used in this context. We just used it in the context of orla as the first 3 years of the fruit. Orla means itself a covering. Right? We speak about orlas halev. We speak about aral. Moshe Rabbeinu referred to himself as an aral sfasayim. Aral sfasayim, what does that mean? He had like covered lips. In other words, he had an inability to speak freely, to speak comfortably. Right? Orla is, in that sense, a covering, a blockage. Any time you find that term used, that's the general reference to this kind of a thing.
So what does it mean when we speak about it being blocked? And then Avraham Avinu came and opened it up. Says the Maharal, a very broad understanding here, and let's go, we'll start with the broad understanding, and then we'll bring it back to the specific mitzvah of Milah. We'll start with the mitzvah of Milah a little bit, we're going to get broad, then we'll come back to the very specific, biology of the mitzvah of Milah. Milah was a bris, right? It was a bris. It was a covenant, to create a covenantal relationship, a connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a close relationship. A bris, as you know, is different than a promise. A promise is, look, I'm myself, you're you, but I promise you I'm going to do you this favor one day. A bris is a covenant where we say we're in this together. It's not I'm me, you're you, but you know, look, we'll do this together, this specific thing together. It's making the two into one. You know, derech charsei brisos, Chazal point out that the way covenants are made is usually that you take an item and you split it into two. Right? Bris ben absarim. They went and they took all the animals and they split them down the middle. Right? In a certain sense, what the message of that is that I'm saying, look, you know, I'm here and you're there. But just like, do you see those two pieces? Those two pieces came from one whole. We're also two pieces from one whole. We're also two halves of one whole. A bris is relationship. Right? Marriage is called a bris. How do we view marriage? Why do we view marriage as a bris? Because we say, look, what was the original marriage that the Torah says that everything develops afterwards from? There was one man. Then he broke off a piece of him, right? Whether half of him or whether a rib, whatever it was, and created another woman. And then when he met this woman, he says, you're mamash a part of me. I mean, you're separate. You live over there. I live over here. But I see we're one. Let's get back together again. That's the idea of a bris. A bris is creating real connection. Avraham Avinu established the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Avraham Avinu's bris. What's the relationship that exists between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is still the creator. Hashem is still the master of the universe. Right? So, you know, what's the kunz? What's the chiddush? What's the trick in Avraham's bris? What's different about Avram's bris than everybody else? So you say, okay, well, Avram recognized him. Avram knew him. Avram spoke to Hashem, right? But that's the connection of oneness? No. By itself, right, that's an aspect of it, but the depth of it is like this, because the truth is that Hashem did create a barrier and a separation that made him necessarily not one with his creations. And you know what that barrier is? That barrier is Teva. The barrier is nature. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created nature, he created a system by which things function. He created an autopilot switch. Teva masks and to some degree separates between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his creatures. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Torah speaks about Asher Cholak Hashem Lekecha Oisam, right, the nations of the world, they bow down to the sun and the moon and the stars. You don't do it. Don't look up to the heavens and look at the sun and the moon and the stars. No. Don't do that. Right? Kol tzva shamayim. Don't do that. That's asher cholak Hashem alekecha oisam uchol amim. That's what Hashem gave as the portion of all the nations that are beneath the heavens. But you, Hashem, did different things for you. What's the idea? Indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, regarding other nations, he said, I'm going to let them be taken care of by nature, by their ministering angels, whatever it is, I delegate. But you, I've made different. You, I've made absolutely different. Think about it. Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, right there, right at the before, on the threshold of the Bris Bein Absarim, which of course was before the Bris Milah in turn. And he says to him, Avraham Avinu, your reward is very great. Avraham Avinu says, look, you know, my reward is very great, but where am I going? Right? I have no children. So what's going to be? So Hashem says to him, no, you'll have children. And he takes them outside, and he says, take a look at the stars. Right? As if you can count them, that's how many children you're going to have. So what does it mean he took them outside? Right? They were sitting in the living room and Hashem said, let's go out to the deck. I want to show you something. Right? You know, like what's happening over here? So Chazal say
that when he took him outside is, he took him outside of the world. He took him above the stars. He said, "Tzei me'itztagninus shelcha." Go out of your itztagninus. Itztagninus is like out of your horoscope. I think that would be the way to say it. Out of what you see in the stars. Okay, we think horoscopes are for the kooks. So if you're gonna, don't worry. There were other people who thought so too, way before us, right? But the thing is, right? Whatever you see as the stars doing, whether you see it, you know, today you're gonna have a delicious cake, you know, or whether you see it as the stars is the way the world turns, is the normal order of things. 100-year-old people, right, who've been married for 70 years, right, they haven't had children, you know, they start to wonder according to nature. Hashem says to Avram, you are not ruled by any rules, right? Everybody else is tachas Hashemesh. Everybody else is under the sun. Everybody else works under the rules. You're above the rules. You're beyond the rules. Same itztagninus shelcha. And everybody else, they have a system, and their tach is stuck in the system, because I'm not going to intervene for them. Of course I could. Of course I could. I can always intervene for anybody. But I created the system because that's the default. That's the way things normally work, b'derech hateva. And that means that there's a barrier, there's a separation. Right? If you're going to work in any kind of a thing, and you got to go by the rules of the system, right? That you're stuck. It's a blind system. Right? You'd say, okay, but one second, but I went to school with the guy who's the chairman of the whole board, right? Of the whole thing. So, does that do anything for me? Well, he may choose. He may choose to listen to you, but until he chooses to listen to you and to somehow say, look, I'm going to deal with you outside of the system, you are governed by the system. The world was governed by Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the system. He stepped back. He stepped back. With Avram Avinu, he stepped forward. And he brought him in. You know, the Ibn Ezra says, when we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, what Yitzias Mitzrayim proves, when we say, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yetzeicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim, and what's the deal there? What's the chidush? What's the novelty that's there in Yitzias Mitzrayim? What's the yisoid of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Some say the idea is, oh, you remember the tremendous power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the world. It's a proof of God's power. Okay? So that would make Yitzias Mitzrayim as meaningful for the Jews as it would be for the Egyptians, as it would be for the Africans, as it would be for anybody, right? Anybody who would know about that story would be overwhelmingly impressed. Others say, no, Yitzias Mitzrayim tells us we have a bondage to Hashem because we had bondage to Paro and he released us from that to his bondage. So it reminds us of our particular responsibility. Mibeis Avodim, Rashi says that over there. The Torah says that in Parshas Behar. Right? Remember, I took you out from being slaves to Mitzrayim, now you're my slaves. The Ibn Ezra says there's something else here. And what's that? Because in the normal course of nature, Yitzias Mitzrayim doesn't happen. Even if you believe in God, that can make anything happen. But do these things happen? They don't happen. According to the course of nature, the Jewish people would have been stuck in Mitzrayim to the point of oblivion. But look what Hashem did. He reached out, he performed miracles, he threw nature to the side for a period of time, and he said, I've got things in mind for you, I'm taking you there no matter what. So Yitzias Mitzrayim says to us, wow, we have a connection to Hashem, we are beyond the stars. We're not just there based on the normal predictive patterns that are there for the rest of the world. We have a special connection to Hashem Yisbarach. The barrier called Teva is a false barrier when it comes to the Jewish people. When Avram Avinu had guests, this is like this Ramban is so beautiful and so like such a challenge to us, this Ramban. It's like overwhelming challenge to us, I think. Avram Avinu had three guests. They came to his house. They looked like Arabs. They didn't think they were angels. That's why they went around running around rushing around to feed them. You don't feed angels. Angel food cake, maybe, right? But otherwise, you don't go give them meat and meat and other stuff. So so they come there and they finish eating and they say, "Where's Sarah? Oh, she's in the tent." She says, "I'm telling you, in a year we're going to come back. You're going to have a child, right?" So Sarah laughs.
So Ramban says, you know why Sora laughed? Because of a few guys walking in and they say, in a year you're going to have a child. It means it's like, you know, a nice mashulach, you know. Oh, you're so nice to me. Right? You promise you everything in the world. Right? Right? She's 100 years, she's 90 years old, whatever, 89 years old, you know, like, what, you know? Says the Ramban, so then what was the complaint about Sora laughing? What was the complaint? She laughed. I mean, she believed in Hashem, you know, but she laughed because these guys are telling it like what is this? They're not malachim. It says, because if you believe in Hashem, hayipole me Hashem dovor. You know what hayipole means? Is anything distant? Is anything blocked from Hashem? Mufla umechusa, says Rashi. Covered. It says, they said Hashem should give you a child. What do they know? They don't know anything. But they're wishing for you a child. What do you say? Amen, kein yihi ratzayin. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. If there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so why should you think that nature should get in the way? That was the difference. That was the difference. Now, you could say, it's not fair. When Hashem came to Avram, he told Avram directly, and Avram laughed with joy. When Hashem comes to Sarah, he hides up as a thing. How do you know how Avram would have responded if he would have heard it from such a person? I don't have the answer to that question. I don't have the answer to that question. I mean, I assume Avram would have said amen, but whatever it is, but the there's a reason why it happens this way.
So they don't think Hashem can do it. Obviously, Hashem, why Hashem would do it?
That's exactly right. It's not that Hashem can't do it, but this is going to happen. Come on, it's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. What do you mean? Hashem can always reach through nature. You have to sincerely hope for it. Never, never say never. It can't be. Now, it's an interesting thing because, you know, we're not necessarily mispalel for miracles. We don't even necessarily pray for miracles. Right? There's an issue whether you pray for a miracle. Okay, but the thing is that in this case, you know, that's what he says. That's why it's like it's a tremendous challenge, this Ramban. But it's, on the other hand, that's the idea. So that's what Avram Avinu comes to break. Hashem, when he came to him in the Bris Ben Absarim, right, what did he say to him? Ani Hashem. Notice if this pasuk sounds familiar. Ani Hashem Asher Haitzeisicha Meur Kazdim. Right? So it's almost like the first of the Aseres HaDibris. Anoichi Hashem Alikecha Asher Haitzeisicha Meur Mitzrayim. Right? So they say, why? Because Ur Kazdim, while if you just read the Chumash straight, you would say, okay, you lived in Ur Kazdim, and he told him from Ur Kazdim, go and leave. But no, Chazal tells Ur Kazdim was the fiery furnace of Nimrod. And when he says, I am Hashem who took you out of Ur Kazdim, is I spared you miraculously from that situation. It was no different than Mitzrayim, which is referred to as a Kur HaBarzel, an iron smelting furnace. Right? That's what the pasuk says. I took you out from an iron smelting furnace from Mitzrayim. Right? So now you understand when it says, Anoichi Hashem, I took you out from Ur Kazdim. Right? So whatever it is, Avram Avinu, I broke the rules of nature for you. Meaning, no barrier. Bris Mila is the removal of the barrier. The barrier of Teva. It's removal of the barrier of Teva. Yeah, I'm sorry. What?
Not for Sarah. Happened to Avram, not for Sarah.
Okay, so you're saying Avram would also even have an advantage, because Avram was the one who directly had the miracles until this point in time.
Nowadays you tell the going, we came out of the side. It's okay, you know. They don't have the real feeling for it as much as we try to relate to it.
Right. I mean, okay. I'll because I brought this example and you're bringing it, so we'll just dwell on it for a moment. You know, many Mefarshim, later Mefarshim, I don't see so much about it in the earlier Mefarshim, but the Netziv writes about this, the Brisker Rav writes about this, and it's one of the pieces in the Grizal HaTorah also, that when Avram and Sarah had a child, it was a very interesting way that Hashem made it happen. How did Hashem make it happen? Sarah became young again. Right? Acharei v'loisi haisali edna. After she was old and worn, so she got her youth back again. She, right, her menstrual period returned, right, and she became young again. Avram didn't. Acharei v'loisi haisali adon. After I were worn out, I became young. V'adoni zaken, and my master is old. Now, of course, the pasuk simple pshat is said as a question mark. After I'm old, I'm going to become young again, and my master is old too. My husband is old too, right? But Chazal say it was an affirmative statement. Acharei v'loisi haisali adon. But v'adoni zaken. But Avram is still the same old man. So what's the issue? So there was this remarkable combination between that with Sarah, the way Hashem did it was, he made her young again. Once he made her young again, so it was normal for her to have a child. Avram Avinu stayed old, and it wasn't normal for him to have a child. So, I mean, either let an old man and old woman have a child, or let a young man and a young woman who once were an old man and old woman before they had this remarkable surgery, right, advertised on late night television, right? You know, they're make them both young, or let them do it and they're both old. What's the combination? Right, so this is the ha'ara, this is the issue which both the Netziv and the Brisker Rav, you know, stand on. Part of it is that that's the difference between Sarah and Avram. Right? To Sarah, who is more a step removed, like you say, and she is din, to her, who is a step removed, so even the miraculous is mislabesh, is going to be a miracle to put her back onto the natural course where this can happen. Whereas with Avram, it doesn't even have to go back into a natural course. It can just be, boom, a miracle.
Just before the name change.
What do you mean?
Avram to Abraham.
It's after. I mean, the name change is...
well before this.
Is not well before it, it's right before it. It's when Avram had the bris, huh?
Does that have something to do with it? That the name change is the why she was able to go back and become young again?
I'm not sure. I mean, see, her name change was together with his name change. It was almost even, if you look closely at the psukim, it was almost even Agav, his name change. You know, it was like piggybacked on his name change. So it's part of the idea, I think. The whole thing is that the direct connection. Right, Hashem, as the Medrash says, Hashem speaks directly to Avraham. When he speaks to Sarah, he speaks to Avram so that Sarah should overhear. When he spoke to Avram, he spoke to him directly. When he spoke to Sarah, he sent the Malachim. Right? There is more of a direct connection which is forced between Hashem and Avram than between Hashem and Sarah. Because Avram is Chesed and Sarah is Din. And Din is not associated with the name Elohim, as is Teva associated with the name Elohim, right? It's all part of systems. I'm like we're telegramming here at this point in time, right? But it's different with Sarah and with Avram, so I don't want to get into it so much, right? But okay, let's go back to it. So Avram Avinu, that barrier called Teva doesn't exist. So it's the removal of the barrier. It's bringing Hashem into direct relation now. It's different. It's different, the whole world. Hashem runs the whole world. No, but he runs the Jewish people different than the whole world. That's why Rashi says, that's what we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu, we say to Yisrael. We don't say Shema world Hashem Elokeinu. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is specifically involved with us. He's our Elokim. For other people, the Teva is Elokim. For us, it's Hashem Elokim. Hashem is the Elohim. Hashem Elokeinu. And in the end, Hashem Echad, it'll be for the whole world too.
So
they'll also see the Hashem without barriers. Yeah?
We have a Shkocha process, that's clear. The Goyim have maybe through an intermediary. What happens when they daven? Let's say they're Maki the Rabban Shalom. There's 7 minutes has been enough people.
They have to follow through the same. If they follow through the same channels as the Jewish people, so then there is a notion that they would be responded to. That was Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah, that if a guy davens through the Beis Hamikdash, that Hashem should respond to them, because they have to see that this is, you know, the Jewish people have that channel open, so that'll, you know, that can work. They daven not through the Beis Hamikdash, I don't know. We also don't know what happens if we daven not through the Beis HaMikdash. We're all supposed to face towards the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So that's the thing. That's the block. And the Mila is that which creates the connection. So what has this got to do with the particular? Now let's go back from the general connection to the specifics of the bris. So he says,
he just describes it, you know, tersely and short, which is that Orla, the Orla is the natural blocking. And Orla is a covering. And it's a covering which is born by nature. Right? So therefore, it's like the barrier of nature. And when you remove it, you're removing the barriers which are created by Teva, created by nature. That's the shorthand way to say it. I would like to go a level deeper. But let's go that level deeper after getting a little bit started on the Gidon Nasha, the second mitzvah. So we understand why Avraham Avinu, who's the one who broke the barrier between him, us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should have the mitzvah of Bris Milah. What does the mitzvah of Gidon Nasha have to do with Yaakov Avinu? So Maral really says, I'm going to give you a short version here. I don't want to go over the whole thing. I mainly discussed it in the Gvuras Hashem, which he did, does discuss it at greater length in the Gvuras Hashem, Perek Nun Zayin. Right, but let me give you the shorthand, he says. And he says like this. I'll read you the words, okay? We'll start with reading the words. Hagid hayorochek mi madregas adam umi malas kedushasai shol Yaakov. The Gid was far, remote from the level of man and the special kedusha of Yaakov Avinu. Ubishvil kach lo yochel le hamalach le Yaakov. The malach would not be able to, was not in the fight with Yaakov in next week's parsha, right? Where the malach couldn't overcome Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu is v'tzelem Elokim. Yaakov Avinu is the ultimate tzelem Elokim. The image of Yaakov is on the Kisei HaKovod, on Hashem's throne, as the ultimate picture of a human being, just like the picture of Adam HaRishon, right? He had Me'ein Shufed Adam. He was like Adam HaRishon on some level, to the extent possible. And that's why the Malach was not going to be able to overcome him. The Malach could not overcome him. But the Yerech, but the thigh of Yaakov Avinu, is Rachak Min HaTzelem. The thigh is particularly that part which is not. Even in the case of Yaakov Avinu, it's not really part of that perfect Tzelem Elokim, that perfect divine image. And therefore, that's why that's the part which was vulnerable to the Malach. In other words, everything which was angelic about Yaakov Avinu, the Malach couldn't touch. But there was an aspect of Yaakov which wasn't angelic, and that was the aspect that the Malach could touch. What's that? That's the Yerach. And the Maral over there in the Gurus Hashem speaks about the fact that the face of Yaakov Avinu is where you really see the image of the Tzelem. Right? That's the part which is open, where you see what's really going on in there. The Yerech is hidden. Right? Chamuki Yerechech, the Pasuk, the Yerech, the thigh is the part of the basic body, it's the midsection, which is hidden. And that's not supposed to be. That's not supposed to, that doesn't reflect the greatness of Yaakov Avinu. Yeah.
What is the difference between a Yerech and a Shoka? Shoke is also the thigh?
A shike is a leg.
Okay, the whole leg?
Shike is the leg. There's even big halacha questions as to when we speak about shike being erva, shike being a part which has to be covered, which part of the leg it means. Uh-huh. Shike is the leg. Uh-huh. The yerech is the thigh. Yeah.
The Torah seems to use a sneeze solution of yerech when it wants to refer to other. Is that any connection here or no?
Has every connection. What's the idea? Let's see. This is a thing to remember. There are three mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis. Pru Urvu, be fruitful and multiply, Bris Milah, and Gid Hanasha. They're all in the same area. They're all right there at the Yerech. Right? You gotta understand that that's key. However you're gonna interpret it, you gotta understand that that's key. That's the Bereishis. That's the place of the origins, so to speak, of man after creation. Comes from there, from that section of the body. In Sefer Bereishis, the three mitzvahs are the mitzvahs of origins. The mitzvah of creation, the mitzvah of Bris Milah, of making the creation good, including it, and the part of the Yerech that you've got to throw away. The part of the thigh that you have to throw away, the Gidon Nasha. What's going on over here? What's this mitzvah of Gidon Nasha? The part which is there, which is not curable.
This is speaking about what part you can eat on an animal. What does that have to do with anything relevant to a human being?
Well, I hope that particular application is not relevant for a human being. right? But the 100%. But it's, where does the mitzvah on the animal come from? It comes from the fact that Yaakov was hobbled. Yaakov was hobbled. Right? So, right? We don't get from this any specific isser that has to do with the body of a human being, but it's all there to remember, to commemorate what happened to the body of a human being. When you avoid the gid hanasha of the behema, you're not focused on the behema. The behema is where the mitzvah comes out, right? But it's to remember the gid hanasha, the thigh of Yaakov Avinu, the human thigh. Okay, so I'm not saying that that satisfies everything. Why couldn't we have a mitzvah somehow in the person? I don't know, right? But the mitzvah in the animal is related to the human being, and maybe we'll be able to understand it a little bit better. Hmm?
Could you explain why Gid HaNasha was so vulnerable to Malach, not the other parts?
Okay, so this is, let's now explain. That part of the body, that particular drive which is there within the person, is evidently very central. Even before a Jewish guy with little glasses named Freud made that the central thing, you know, defined everything around it, we find earlier issues around it. So much so that the Ramban brings those who say that what does it mean, Das Toivara, Eitz Hadas Toivara, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, that was the tree of sexual desire. That's, Das Toivara is a euphemism for that. That's what the Ramban brings. Ramban rejects it. He rejects it. He says, no. Das Toivara does refer to a person having their own drives and interests. Not specifically that one. That's one of them. Right? And the person's driven, the person will make their own choices, right? But it's not referring specifically to that. But there you find that something the Ramban brings already. You might say, okay, well, that's Catholic, right? But you look in the Torah, and whatever your approach to the broader questions, but Adam and Chava, there's like, you know, they sin, they have a mitzvah about not eating from the fruit of a specific tree. But if you read the Chumash, the marker for life before and life after is the verse before they eat, they're seduced to eat from the tree of knowledge, is that they went around unclothed without shame. And the verse after they eat from the tree of knowledge is that they went to hide. They realized that they were unclothed. So there was something fundamental there that the Pasuk is telling us. Chazal go even further. Chazal see that the snake getting them eat from the tree of knowledge is actually even, again, you have to understand what's the euphemism, what's the metaphor, but Chazal's language is that the snake wanted to marry Chava, right? That was its motivation. We'll get Adam dead and then I'll be able to marry you. And not only that, right? But Chazal used the expression that the snake actually, excuse me, had relations with Chava. B'sho sheba nochash al Chava hitil ba'zuama. When the snake had relations to Chava, he put into her pollution, corruption, and that stayed in the bloodstream of mankind until so they don't take this thing very far away from a great focus on this particular thing, this particular desire. Now, of course, desire generally is the chapter of the Yetzer Hara, but this desire is a biggie. It's a central desire. So we could talk, Chazal say, oh, you know, the whole sin of the tree of knowledge was about eating. Eating. Everybody has to struggle with this desire for eating. Okay, good. That's true too. In the Chazal itself, in the Pasuk itself, in Mishlei, achla umachasapia the amra lepaalti oven. Eating is a term, is a euphemism for relations also. Yosef used it. Yosef said to the wife of Potiphar, the only thing that my master held back from me is the bread that he eats. Says Rashi, in a nice way, he's saying, you. So what's all this for? Recognize that this desire is part of the fundamental, physical, human desire of a person. Now, not that it cannot be on some level made holy, of course. We speak about Kiddushin. We speak about trying to sanctify everything in the world. But on the other hand, this one does have an aspect where it's a hard one. It's a hard one. The mitzvah of Milah that Avraham Avinu had was to really cure that. Chazal say that Avraham's name was changed to Avraham. Why? Because now the equals 248. Every part of the body of Avram was now included with Hashem Yisbarach. That was what the bris was supposed to be able to accomplish. Everything was supposed to do it. Was supposed to create that connection.
What were the five mitzvahs that were missing?
What were the five limbs, two eyes, five not mitzvahs but limbs, two eyes, two ears, and the organ, the male organ. That the Gemara says that those you don't really seem to have as much control over, right? The eyes and the ears. The eyes see when they're open. The ears hear when they just hear. You don't. It's not like a hand which only touches something if you make a conscious choice to touch it, right? And the Reish Hagvia. So you know there's a certain level of control and a certain non level of control. So, but when Avraham Avinu had the Bris Milah, then everything was brought in. Everything was brought in. That's the idea. And to go there specifically, that's not like the beginning. You understand, Bris Milah isn't the beginning. Bris Milah is the finish line. Right? When you go and you say, we're going to take this and we're going to put a mitzvah on this, that's mamish the finish line. That's it. If you can go there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've gone everywhere. You've gone everywhere. You brought the person completely in. Completely in. That's the Bris Milah that Avraham Avinu was there to accomplish. Close all barriers. Because it's the ultimate teva, it's the ultimate mass, because any desire which you have that pulls you in a direction separate from Hashem, right, it's not teva, but it's your version of teva. It's that which creates your barrier between you and Hashem Yisbarach. When Adam and Chava started to feel that desire, they hid from Hashem. Right, when Hashem created nature as a way, He hid from people. But when we have this Yetzer, we hide from Hashem. We're pursuing our own desires, our own lusts. We're hiding from Hashem Yisbarach. When we take it and we make it a Bris Milah, we say we have nothing to hide. We're including that also with the Bris of Hashem Yisbarach. And it's an unbelievable thing. At a Bris, you make a bracha. I mean, it's a discussion in the Rishayim and Shulchan Aruch. But a Bris, fundamentally, you make a bracha in front of the Bris, in front of the Orla. Normally, you're not allowed to make a bracha in front of such a thing. But at the bris, right, there's a decision, there's an opinion, should we cover it, make the bracha? Uncovered. Why? Because at the bris, it's not an erva. You understand? At the bris, we're taking it back to vayu shneim arumim v'lo yisbashashu. They were unclothed and there was no shame. Because it's all included. All included with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer, I mean, it's to us, it sounds gross. Excuse me, put your hand beneath my thigh. There's one mitzvah that I have, and you know, when you make a promise, you should hold on to a mitzvah. So do me a favor, put your hand beneath my thigh and hold the Bris Milah, and you'll make me a promise. Ah! Right? Avraham Avinu, it was like his face, his hands, hold my nose. Hold my hand. Right? This is what it was. That's the mitzvah with Avraham of Bris Milah. That's the thing. Transform it into something that's there. Yaakov Avinu. In certain ways, we see Yaakov Avinu as being purer than Avram. You understand? Yaakov Avinu is the one who reverses the chet and everything else. But on the other hand, we know something else about Yaakov Avinu. And that is that Yaakov Avinu would not feel at home in this world. Yaakov Avinu won Olam Haba in the challenge with Esav. This world was not quite his place. That's why when Yaakov got all those brachas, which were brachas for material success in this world, he didn't really take them. He didn't really keep them. Right? He didn't have Duva the Heaven's Fat Land. He wasn't a farmer. I mean, he told Esav as much when he came back in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. You know, I've been by thing, but I don't have the Duva the Heaven's. I don't have the Fat of the Land. I haven't been a king over nations. I'm not ruling over you either. Right? My time is going to be in another world. Or maybe one of my children will do it. I don't know. But right now, I'm not doing it. Yaakov Avinu is the one who finds this world to be a very foreign place. Yaakov Avinu keeps the company of angels, not as well the company of people.
But isn't he such a time on him that he got all four?
Oh, he thinks he does. But in fact, he says, no, I didn't. Now again, the descendants of Yaakov will, but Yaakov himself does not.
So
that's the Gid HaNasha. The Gid HaNasha is that part, it's the Yerach, it's the thigh. It's the thigh. The Bris Mila represents the part of the Bris, the part of that being of the person that can be brought in. But on the other hand, there's a part that cannot be brought in. There's that reality that Yaakov Avinu says, look, you know, I'm still a human being of flesh and blood. Oh, as an angel, he can win over the angels, but there's also this aspect of him as a human, which is vulnerable to the Malachim, which is that other side. And that, to some degree, is Yaakov's Chiddush. You know what Yaakov's Chiddush is? You can be mamash shooting for the stars to be person of Olam Haba, but b'shagam hu basar, you're still a being of flesh. And while Avraham Avinu takes the flesh on, head on, and that's the mitzvah of Bris Mila, Avraham Avinu is the one to turn the flesh into something. Yaakov Avinu is the one who says, get me out of here. Get me out of here. The flesh is just, I can't. The flesh is not his thing, his connection. There's much to, I mean, it's a very shorthand by Yaakov Avinu, and you know, these are the parshiyos, but I'll give you one illustration. Okay? And it's a good illustration for this week's parsha, for Vayetze, and with this we will wrap up, conclude. So Yaakov Avinu, in this week's parsha, comes, he leaves his father's house, he goes to Haran, and he comes to the well, and he sees Rachel coming, and there's this huge boulder on the well. Usually it takes a whole bunch of shepherds to roll this boulder off of the well. But for Yaakov Avinu, he does it like a person knocks the lid off of a jar. Arnold Schwarzenegger before he was governor. Right?
Gold's Gym.
Right? What?
Gold's Gym.
Now, look, you know, Yaakov Avinu is a big tzaddik and everything else. But is it this kind of miracle that you would expect Yaakov Avinu to be able to do? I mean, this is like, never mind his age. It's out of character. He doesn't work out. He's been sitting in Shem Vaver's yeshiva for 14 years. He hasn't even slept in 14 years. He just had his first night's sleep, right? And he had a dream that in the middle of the night. Right? Yaakov Avinu has, you know, like this huge feat of strength out of the blue. You know what else is happening? Yaakov Avinu sees Rachel, and he becomes filled with a love for Rachel. Right? He loves Rachel. He loves Rachel, as the pasuk says, Rachel's beautiful. He loves Rachel. Okay, now let's not oversimplify this. And by speaking about this in such short things, we're at some risk of oversimplifying it, right? But in a certain sense, what Rachel's supposed to do is, she's supposed to introduce to Yaakov the ability to engage with the world, and that's what's going to happen, because Yaakov bows down to Esav, runs away from Esav, and who are the only ones who actually get the Jewish people to triumph over Esav? The children that Yaakov has with Rachel, Yosef, Mordechai, right? These are the ones who enable us. Ein Zarishol Esav, Neifel Elobiad Zarishol Rachel. Whatever, I mean, that's not an exact quote, but that's what Chazal say. It's only going to be with Rachel. Rachel enables him to do it, to triumph over the world. It enables to Yaakov to demonstrate a physical strength. It enables Yaakov to have Ava, to have love. You know what the Ramban says on that pasuk before of Das Tevara? He says, before eating from the tree of knowledge, you were just emes, just governed by truth. And you don't love anything, you don't hate anything. You just do it by truth. Yaakov, you know, is emes, truth. He's not supposed to love anything. But he loved Rachel. And even if you want to look at it further, Vayehav Yaakov is Rachel. Right? So, you know, last week's Parsha, yesterday's Parsha, we had Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav, Kitzayid Befiv. Rivka Oyheves es Yaakov. And she loved, right? So you're familiar with he loved Esav, she loves Yaakov. Right? So the Chizkuni says, the Mepharshim say, he loved Esav for material reasons, because he would give him food. That's in the past tense. Love which is for material reasons can come and can go. Why, when he needed to give him the bracha, he says, give me some more food so I'll feel the love again. Rivka loves Yaakov. It's a spiritual love. It's a love which is constant. What does it say about Yaakov and Rachel? Vayehav Yaakov is Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel. It was something of an introduction into the material world. Now, on the other hand, says the Medrash, Rachel came and Yaakov kissed her. And the natives got upset with him. What? We don't kiss young women. And Yaakov cried, the Pasuk says. Says the Medrash, you know why Yaakov cried? He says, because, oh gosh, they think I'm kissing a girl like they would kiss a girl. I'm not kissing her like that. Yaakov kisses with purity. At the same time as it's a little bit of an introduction into the world of the physical connection. Right? That's that's part of the dynamic here. And that aspect is an aspect which Yaakov doesn't cure, quote unquote, completely. Avram is the one who cures it. Avram, who doesn't start off with emes necessarily, he starts off with something else. But his thing is to bring these things in the material world in which he is comfortable and to bring it towards Hashem Yisborach. Yaakov Avinu was fundamentally not in the material world, but he is in the material world. And that part of him which is in the material world is an Achilles heel. Or a gidanasha, a sciatic nerve. Yeah.
Just to clarify, so it has to be pulled out. That's the tikkun for that. Like, what I'm trying to connect. What is the actual gidanasha mitzvah as it relates to Yaakov?
You can't partake of it. You can't partake of it. There's the animal that can be ingested, and there's the animal that can't be ingested. As much as we're going to say, we're going to sanctify everything, we have to realize that there's some things that we won't be able to sanctify. There's some notion of stepping back. We can get this romantic idea that we're just going to take over this whole physical world and we're just going to be able to indulge in everything and make it all holy. And when we know deep down inside ourselves, and not so deep down in ourselves, that it doesn't work so simply like that. Right? So this resembles that part which you're not going to be able to take over. Yeah. And Gid HaNasha is that. So if you ask why it expresses itself in the animal, I say it's because fundamentally that's the part of ourselves that we ourselves are trying to to deal with. When we eat in it, we're trying to raise that up. So this is where it's essential. Yeah. See, Avram was starting in the physical world and bringing it towards Hashem Yisbarach. Yaakov Avinu, to some degree, was starting in the spiritual world and coming down with a thud. Avram Avinu brought us in that direction. Yaakov Avinu showed us the limits of coming down in this direction. Shneim, yeah. That's what I feel in my gut, that it's this directional thing. Because Avram is going that direction. Was Avram able to cure it all absolutely, positively, completely? I don't know. But the direction which he was doing was the direction of curing it. The direction of Yaakov Avinu was the direction of showing to be able to pull back from the whole material thing.
I think Yosef taught us in the world to beautify, basically to take Yaakov and bring it out to physical world.
That's correct. That's what he's going to do. That's why those brachas of Yitim Lecha were claimed by Yosef. Yosef was a successful farmer. Yosef did have his brothers bow down to him, did have other kingdoms bow down to him. Yosef was the one who brought them all home.
We're going to discuss why Avram had a whole Torah next week.
Mitzvah.